attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast. Tune into The Drive 3 until 6 p.m. weekdays on the Sports Hub.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Come on. Let's go.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the Sports Hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
There are two areas in sports that I believe are in dire need of more personality. NFL quarterback and football coach in general. As long as I have this radio show, I'm always going to be pro-fun and anti-self-seriousness when it relates to sports. The faux sanctity of things, the unwritten rules with air quotes, are always things that are going to bother me. We are broadcasting live from the Wyndham Championship, by the way, and I think it's a perfect fit for this kind of radio show for us to be broadcasting inside Margaritaville, where there are a bunch of drunk patrons running around who love golf. It's a good place for us to be right now. Aaron Gabriel on site and Desmond Johnson back in our studio. Your thoughts, welcome on Twitter at SportsHubTriad, 336-777-1600. The phone number. When a college football coach has personality, when a quarterback has it, it's rare. That's why I tend to appreciate Cam Newton. That's why I tend to appreciate Dabo Swinney. The thing that fascinates me the most about Dabo is just how different he is than the rest of the college football coaches who have stood on similar stages as him as a championship-winning coach. Nick Saban almost seems like he's upset that he won because of how behind he is in recruiting. Urban Meyer doesn't seem very joyful when he's on stage. Dabo is giving people, what's it called when you put finger on, you put your finger in your mouth and then you put it in somebody's ear? What's that called?
Wet Willie.
Oh, Wet Willie. Thank you, Aaron. That's what Dabo Swinney's doing. Dabo's having so much fun. He's cracking jokes. He's the same guy at ACC kickoff. He's not buttoned up. He's not starched. He's fun. It's sports, after all. Yet, there is still a large, significant faction of people who don't view sports that way, that instead want sports to be serious and ran like a Fortune 500 company. One of those people is not Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, I enjoyed him in college. He was playing for Lincoln Riley, who I got to know a little bit. Let me just pick up that name I just dropped. Lincoln Riley has coached back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners, but Kyler didn't have the same personality Baker did. Baker, he rubbed people the wrong way. He had fun, he was brash, and he's brought that to the NFL, and he had a great rookie year. He's one of the signature reasons why people are excited about the Browns this year. If Baker wasn't as good as he was a year ago and they bring in Odell Beckham, there will be a tension in Cleveland, but the sentiment will be, oh, that's where careers go to die. The source of optimism and hope in Cleveland is Baker Mayfield. And the source of fun, as he showed us yesterday when he was meeting with reporters, and he didn't have a full-on mustache, but it's budding. On that upper lip, something is a-growing, and Baker Mayfield was asked about it.
He seemed to be having fun on camera a couple of times with the mustache. Is there a story behind it?
Maybe you'll find out, maybe you won't. I don't know. That's the elegance of having a mustache. You just don't know what's going to happen.
No kind of bag.
That's the elegance of having a mustache. You don't really know what's going to happen. Did you hear more Matthew McConaughey in the Lincoln car commercials there or Forrest Gump?
Hold on. A little bit of Matthew McConaughey. I was going to say the Days of Confused character, but Matthew McConaughey basically plays Matthew McConaughey in every movie that he has a role in.
That's the evidence of having a mustache. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's Matthew McConaughey.
I didn't choose to ride in a Lincoln. The Lincoln chose me.
Ditch the zero. I'm getting a car with these guys over here.
If you have a good Matthew McConaughey impression, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. I want only Matthew McConaughey impressions. Another coach or another person that we love on this show as someone who represents fun in sports is Ed Orgeron. We love Ed. Last year, he was our football Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi gave us so much content throughout the spring and the summer so far. Ed Orgeron was that guy for us last year. After every game, he's making sure to tell you, go Tigers, every single time. Ed Orgeron does an interview and he finishes things up. It's always the go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Just like that. And you don't want to cross him either, or he'll let you know where he's coming for. He'll let you know that he is going to stare right down the barrel of the pistol and come right down your throat.
We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
So those are some of the past clips of Ed Orgeron. I don't know where Eddie O is here, Ed Orgeron. I don't know. But it appears he's at some sort of Rotary Club. He's speaking and just, with that Cajun accent, saying nonsense.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha who never got past number one.
I've heard this clip so many times, I still have no clue. Let me hear it one more time. I just want to make out syllables.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha who never got past number one.
Aaron, have you figured it out? Have you cracked the puzzle?
I think I got a piece of it.
Let's hear what you think it is, Aaron.
I'm sure glad y'all had that raffle. We wouldn't have got past number one.
Wow. Sure glad. Okay, this is big news here. Sure glad you've had that raffle. Otherwise,
wouldn't have got past number one.
Okay, let's hear it again.
And I'm glad you didn't have that raffle. Salafusha wouldn't have got past number one.
Okay, what's the Salafusha part, though?
The future wouldn't have got past number one.
The Salafusha. Just isolate that one part, Dez. Salafusha, whatever that is.
The guy that's speaking English.
Salafusha, what?
Raffle Salafusha wouldn't have got past.
Ed Orgeron is incomprehensible.
The problem with this whole thing is
incomprehensible, I mean. Sorry.
The problem with this whole thing is that he is completely 110% sober when he's saying all of these things.
Yes.
Salafusha wouldn't have got past number one.
That's what it sounds like for normal people when it's 2:30. You just got wrapped up at Bull's Tavern or Joymonger's. And you're just like, hey, guys, I super luscious, super luscious him.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha who never got past number one.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's an incredible piece of sound. That man is the face of one of the premier programs in college football. He is asked to speak for a living. Yes, he's a football coach, but he has to do donor functions. He has to do briefings for his coaches and players. He has to speak to the media a couple times a week. This man.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha who never got past number one.
Unbleeping believable, man. No idea.
I swear that man has walked up to me at a bar at like 150. We want to know if we've done last call already.
I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha who never got past number one.
Go Tigers. Go.
Go Tigers.
I love that man. I can't wait for football season to get here. Oh, wait, it's here. Hall of Fame game is tonight, and we're excited. Speaking of the NFL, let's go back to it. Bill Belichick is not somebody we generally go to for fun conversation. However, it's gotten to the point where he is so non-giving, he is so short, that it's entertaining. It is a source of entertainment to hear Bill Belichick. How many coaches have crossed into that threshold? I think it's only two people. I think it's Belichick and Popovich. They can be short and be content. They can be short, and all of us enjoy it. However, what makes this different, I actually think he's trying to be funny. Now, here's what you need to know. you're going to hear there's a phone going off. Bill Belichick starts to smile after he said an answer to a question with two numbers that, when put together, can create funny commentary. Did he intend to make the joke there, which led to conversation about a fine? Or was he just simply talking about the phone going off? You be the judge.
Both guys are around 6'9".
Final question.
Do
you get a fine?
Yeah, I've been. Do you guys have that? Do you guys have a fine system? Or is that a guy? Donation to the Jimmy Fund, something like that, yeah.
I love Belichick for that reason. Just because I do believe he's calculated enough. We're talking about the Patriots coach. He's calculated enough to make a 69 joke while also blaming the reporter for having his phone go off. That's typical Belichick. That's typical Patriots. I'm on to you, Belichick. I'm on to you. Let's go to Aaron in Greensboro, who apparently speaks Cajun. Does he actually speak Cajun, or is he just trying to figure out what Ed Orgeron's saying here? Aaron, you're on the Sports Hub. What?
Yeah, hey, Darren. Luckily for you, engineering had it part right, but I'll finish it off because I totally speak Cajun. It's some of you fools.
Oh, some of you fools! Let's hear it one more time together, Aaron. Now that we have the context, let's hear it.
And I'm glad you didn't have that raffle of Salafusha. Wouldn't have ever got past number one.
Oh! He's figured it out! Aaron has solved the puzzle! Aaron in Greensboro speaks fluent Cajun! He speaks fluent at Orgeron! Congratulations, Aaron! Thank you! You did a service for the triad today.
No problem.
That's awesome. And a gold tiger. All right.
Gold tigers.
Thank you. Cody in Winston-Salem, give me your best Matthew McConaughey. Cody, go right ahead.
Hey, sometimes you just got to grab life by the horns. But if you can't find the horns, you're just out there grasping at thin air. Like, where the heck are the horns? You know what I'm saying? Oh, God.
Get him out of here. That's incredible. Thank you, Cody. Get him out of here. I mean, he had a couple of words there that were just perfect. When he said bulls, it's really good.
All right.
There's nothing better. Kind of like when we go to Doc Rivers, when people at the very end of doing an impression say who it is they're doing. There was a friend of mine who thought he was a good impressionist in Greenville, America, when I lived in the eastern part of the state. He would do the impression and just say the name of the person he was impersonating. It'd be Morgan Freeman. And just that bad. I don't have a Morgan Freeman, but that was my impression of the guy who has a poor impression of Morgan Freeman, which is a damn good impression. You just don't even know it. But Cody, good work there. Both really good calls. All right. We're at the Wyndham Championship. There's a lot of things happening. Aaron Gabriel, who's here on site helping set things up, he's salty. Want to explore that? Maybe we'll get into wedding songs. You ever perform weddings, Aaron?
I have.
Okay. That's an interesting place to be. The Wyndham Championship, there is one local player who is a recognizable name that has a lot riding on this week, and I'll tell you who that is next on the drive.
Stay tuned now for...
This is...
Countdown commence. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I would like to introduce you at this time...
The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
We're live at the Wyndham Championship. Sedgefield Country Club, specifically inside Margaritaville. Hanging out on site, our good friend from WXII, sports director over there, Brian Formica, visiting with us. And the player I want to talk most about with this tournament, obviously a lot of eyes are going to be on Jordan Spieth being here for the first time since 2013, but it's Webb Simpson, local kid, loves this course, finished second last year, and he's playing great golf right now, shot a 6 under today. What do you make of Webb Simpson and how important it is considering where he is in the FedEx standings?
Well, the main thing with Webb, I mean, as you say, he's coming off of a great round last week, Memphis, finished second, and then he came into today having a lot of confidence. We spoke to him yesterday, we spoke to him today, and he said, I'm playing well right now. And his main strategy for today is what he told us is to start. He didn't need to take the lead off the top. He wanted to put up a good round in his first round and actually have something to build upon. And that's exactly what he did today. That was his strategy, and he achieved that strategy. Starting out on the second hole, though, he started out with a bogey. That is not how you want to start, you know, in this tournament, especially with the momentum. That can completely jar somebody. He didn't. He followed it up with birdie, birdie, eagle. That, I mean, that's a statement right there for Webb. And, of course, not only is he the favorite to win this at 12-1 odds before this thing even started, but he's one of the fan favorites. I mean, he has ties to every single city in this entire state. He, you know, grew up in Raleigh, lives in Charlotte, went to Wake Forest, and he vacationed this summer in Wilmington. I mean, the guy is through and through North Carolina, so everybody here wanting to see him do well, and he did just that to start it out.
Who can claim Webb Simpson? On Twitter, at Sports Hub Triad. By the way, you can follow Brian Formica on Twitter, at Brian Formica. But another thing to consider is, with Webb being 13th in the FedEx Cup standings at the moment, still within reach the Wyndham Rewards top 10, but I think more importantly in the mind of Webb, maybe potentially being a part of the Ryder Cup team, when you look at the President's Cup list right now, you currently see Webb is 10th. So the top 8 qualify. You get to play with Tiger Woods, and he's apparently been in conversations with Tiger. What do you think is the top motivator right now for Webb Simpson, aside from the fact you want to play well at a course that you love?
I think the main thing is, I mean, when he texted Tiger and said, hey, what do I need to do? And Tiger texted him back and said two words, play better. And so the goal coming back would be simply play better. And how do you do that? Well, you have to have a great showing at the Wyndham first. And, I mean, first things first, you handle what is right in front of you. That's what all of us have always been told in anything in life. Handle the first day, and then, you know, you can look on to bigger and better things, but handle the day in front of you. That's what he did today, 6 under par. And as the leaderboard changes, he's looking at himself at least in that top 10.
Play better. A funny text to get when you finish second at the World Golf event last weekend, the WGF. And then you have a top 20 finish in the U.S. Open as well recently. Play better.
Huh. I mean, what a statement from Tiger, right? You think, you know, Tiger Woods, I mean, what an icon. And just texting back, play better. It's quintessential Tiger. Tiger always gets to the point. Whenever you talk to Tiger, he is straight to the point. He's honest. Sometimes he's brutally honest. And a text like that, play better. Well, yeah, that's to the point right
there. It's kind of like the dad you're trying to impress. Hey! I got a 93 on my test today.
Right.
Why wasn't it 100?
Yeah, and why isn't your room clean and why isn't the garbage outside, right? Exactly.
Joe Weil going to join us in a little while. We'll carry Dash Baseball later tonight, Thursday night. A fun thing that we do with Joe, we throw movie lines at him. And we're still taking those on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad. And he just seamlessly finagles the movie line into his play-by-play. And It's a way for our audience and this show to infiltrate the Dash's broadcast. Dez, play an example of something that Joe did last week.
1-1. Popped up down the right field line. Long run for the right fielder Corsino, and he watches it bang off the wall. Corsino picks it up, tosses it towards second base. Perez slides in, and he's in there safely as the shortstop Fitzgerald could not corral the one-hop throw. Carlos Perez has hit the ball hard twice today. Two doubles and two at-bats, and that's a bingo.
I love Quentin Tarantino, so that's a bingo is about as good as it gets.
So do I get to throw one in?
If you want to.
I would love to.
If there's a movie line that you would love to hear on the Dash broadcast, think about it. While you're thinking, let's hear another one of Joe's calls on the broadcast.
And the Dash offense, through a 20-game span earlier this half, scored 59 runs. The 2-0, Dadalo takes it up and in, count it 3-0. But this team has always had the offense and the players to turn around. And listen, worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't necessarily get you anywhere.
Well done.
I didn't know Van Wilder could be worked into a broadcast, a baseball broadcast. No Tara Reid references later on tonight, I don't think. How many of these do you have, Dez?
We have four from last week.
Whew! Whew! Give me another.
Infield playing in the pitch. Caught on a miss, counted nothing and one. Blackman fooled on that breaking ball. Giving a look out to the mound as if to say, I have fallen for you like a blind roofer. See if he doesn't fall for it this time. 0-1.
It's just so much polish.
Absolutely. And seamlessly. Just yeah. Seamlessly. Just throws it in. And I bet if you're listening, you're like, did he just, was that just, you know.
You have no idea.
Right.
You have no idea if you aren't listening to this show, but listen for the Dash game. And if you do listen to this show and listen to the Dash game, there's nothing more fulfilling than when you're in your car and you heard
joke.
The line.
Right.
It's a complete inside joke on radio. Thank you, sir. May I have another, Desmond Johnson?
1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. One gone here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Cavanario continues to dominate the Salem Red Sox. Coming into this start, he had 3 wins and 3 outings. He's already posted 4 1/3 shutout frames against Salem. And listen, for the Red Sox, truth hurts. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts. And the truth is, Cavanario is a strong pitcher.
How do you guys decide that's the Naked Gun quote you're going with? Like, out of all of them, yeah, let's go with the truth hurts. The one, the bicycle one. We'll do that. What kind of movies are you into, Formica?
Man, you know, I am a movie buff, but my favorite of all time has to be Tombstone. I mean, Tombstone, I could watch that. I can recite the whole thing. But if we can throw, possibly, and I'm your Huckleberry, into the Dash broadcast, I think that would probably be on my checklist in life.
Have we done that yet? Have we done I'm Your Huckleberry yet, Desmond Johnson?
I want to say it's come up early on in the season, but I don't think he did it.
No, I don't think he did either.
I think it was a suggestion, but he hadn't. It's been in our vault.
We get so many people that send these in. We're going to make it happen this week for Brian Formica.
I appreciate that.
I'll be your Huckleberry. That's it.
There we go.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry, right.
I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry, yeah.
I'm your Huckleberry from Tombstone. We'll buy. We'll see
right,
if you
exactly.
can get that in. That's a good one. What other movies do you like?
Oh, my God.
Movie buff. Have you watched any of the Lion King or the Disney remakes or Quentin Tarantino?
I have not watched any of the remakes yet. I mean, it's like making another Josh Graham. How do you replace a classic? You know, a live-action Josh Graham? No, I love the original. And if people want to go make some money and introduce a new generation, that's fine. But at the same time, why wouldn't you just rewatch the original?
A cartoon Josh Graham would be worth watching, I think.
Would that be the remake, though?
That's probably.
The right.
Since I'd like to think I'm real life action.
Well, in that case, we love the live action, too. But, I mean, I don't think he can work a Circle of Life. You know, the opening, that's my alarm clock in the morning. And
No, it's not.
You can't. Yes, it is.
That's your alarm clock.
Yes. My whole family just jumps up, like, terrified, because I have my volume at full blast.
It is
right?
a delightful way to wake
it
up.
It is.
What kind of alarm do you use, Dez?
I just use the regular clock alarm that's on my Android phone, so it's just like a regular dinging noise that goes off.
See, yours is dinging. I get people who say I'm a crazy person because mine is, like, very abrasive. Like, a really loud abrasive.
You wake up every morning on DEFCON 9?
Every morning.
Do you look around to see what terror is happening outside your window?
No. I've had it conditioned very early on in my life, Brian, that when I hear an alarm, get out of bed immediately. And also, I take showers very quickly. So I go in the shower. I shower with music on. No more than 2 songs, and you're out.
Wow.
That's right. It's efficiency. Get out of bed immediately. See, I'm throwing nuggets out there. Listen here. If you want to have a more efficient morning and start your day right, get out of bed as soon as possible. The longer you're in bed, the less productive you're going to be that day.
Do you make the bed once you wake up?
No.
Every morning I make the bed.
See, I'm so inconsistent.
I know we digress, but that way, no matter what happens in the day, how little productive I am, right?
This is top-notch stuff.
But no matter how little production I have in the day, I've at least done something.
Before I let you go, what is another storyline, aside from Webb Simpson, that you're most interested in following?
I think it is Matt Wolf, to be honest. There's something about this young man that has impressed all of the veterans on the PGA Tour. I mean, they're all amazed at the nerves of steel of this young man that he already has. And he's rising up the leaderboard. He's not having a bad day by any means. He just birdied the ninth hole. He's coming through. And this is a guy, this is the next wave of great golfers, and he's part of that next wave. And it'll be interesting to see how he does here on a short course. A lot of these guys are used to the long bomb, get it done, blast it as far as you can, and then clean up. Sedgefield is not like that. It's the old classic course. It is all about putting, and this shows who will be the next wave because, of course, if you can't putt, you're not going to have that great of a career. That's why Jordan Spieth is intriguing, and that's why he's won so much early on in his career is because of his putting and because of his nerves of steel. Matt Wolf is compared to have nerves of steel. Brant Snedeker, he has impressed him, so we'll see how he can do.
Brian, it's good to catch up with you, man.
Absolutely.
It's been such a long time.
It's
so good to see you.
It's been such a long time, and it is so good to see
you. On Twitter at Brian Formica. Watch of WXII a little bit later on this afternoon and tonight as well. Wake Forest opened up practice today, and I'll tell you who I expect to be the number one QB for Game 1 next on The Drive.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the Sports Hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
We're live from the Wyndham Championship. We'll be broadcasting today and tomorrow, round one, round two of action at Sedgefield Country Club. Joe Wild, the voice of the Winston-Salem Dash, joining us, continue to send us movie lines that we could throw at him for him to finagle into his play-by-play a little bit later on tonight. 7 o'clock first pitch for the Winston-Salem Dash. But a headline just came in that's a pretty big deal. Bud Foster, the legendary defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech, just announced that this year will be his final season as the Hokies DC. He arrived the same year as Frank Beamer and installed the lunch pail and the defense that's just been legendary for all of these decades. So after Virginia Tech had a losing season for the first time since the George H.W. Bush administration, Virginia Tech looks to bounce back, not just for the sake of Justin Fuente and his job status, but also to try and send Bud Foster out on top. Before we return back to golf, let's go to Joe Weil, voice of the Dash that you can follow on Twitter at Joe_Weil. Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Josh. What's going on, man?
I'm looking at the Major League Baseball standings, and it's going to be quite a battle for the pennant in the American League when you got the Yankees, of course, who stayed pat mostly yesterday, but they were great as many of their heavy hitters were on the designated or the injured list out for quite a bit. Now they're back, and you can only imagine that the Yankees are better for it. The Astros, meanwhile, they add quite a bit, including Zach Greinke yesterday. So in your mind, when you look at the Astros and the Yankees in the American League, who do you like more as a favorite to win the pennant?
I'm going to say this to hopefully jinx them, but I'm going to go Houston Astros. I'm from the Yankees fan and still am, obviously, along with, of course, being aligned with the White Sox now. But, no, I think what the Astros did was really impressive. And again, they're trying to make sure that they go all in on this run to the World Series, and they hope they can get back there for the second time in 3 years. But I love the deal. I mean, their three now is just so impressive. Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, and then to also have a guy like Zach Greinke. I mean, Zach Greinke as a three starter is obviously a luxury, and the Astros, they become a master. I think it's late additions at the end of season. I think that the move they made for Justin Verlander a couple of years ago is one of the best late season additions in baseball history because he single-handedly swung the ALCS against the Yankees 2 years ago. So I think it was a great move for the Astros. Again, trying to jinx them, I'm going to say that they did a better job at the deadline, and they are the favorites right now. But hopefully the Yankee bats can come alive in October.
All right. Joe Weil, voice of the Dash, with us here. Dash Baseball, you can listen to 7 o'clock right here on the Triad Sports Hub. Going to the movie lines, we had Brian Formica, WXII Sports Director, give us a couple of lines to throw at you when we get to that. But let's see what you did last week. Let's revisit some of those calls. Dez, go right ahead.
1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. One gone here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Cavanario continues to dominate the Salem Red Sox. Coming into this start, he had 3 wins and 3 outings. He's already posted 4 and a third shutout frames against Salem. And listen, for the Red Sox, truth hurts. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts. And the truth is, Cavanario is a strong pitcher.
How proud of yourself are you there, Joe?
Well, you know, you finished it off smoothly. It's always when you get that last word out of the line, it's a good feeling. So I think I stuck the landing there.
We're talking to Joe Weil here. Send us your lines at Sports Hub Triad. Getting a couple of good ones right now. Let's get to the next line from Joe.
1-1. Popped up down the right field line. Long run for the right fielder Corsino, and he watches it bang off the wall. Corsino picks it up, tosses it towards second base. Perez slides in, and he's in there safely as the shortstop Fitzgerald could not corral the one-hop throw. Carlos Perez has hit the ball hard twice today. 2 doubles and 2 at-bats, and that's a bingo.
You are a Quentin Tarantino fan, yes?
Absolutely. But for the people listening, a couple of days ago, Josh comes to the game. I hear middle of my inning. That's the bingo. Threw me off guard for a second. Then I realized who it was.
They have an active crowd, Mike. You got to be on your toes at all times, Joe. Next, Joe Weil movie line.
Infield playing in the pitch. Cut on a miss, counting nothing and one. Blackman fooled on that breaking ball. Giving a look out to the mound as if to say, I have fallen for you like a blind roofer. See if he doesn't fall for it this time. 0-1.
See, that's when you're at your best. It's just when you work it in and people don't quite know what's happening, whether or not you're just being cheesy or working in a movie line. It helps that you are a genuinely cheesy person. So people might think you just came up with that.
Hey, I can make it flow. But it was so funny because Brian Brooks, one of my good buddies, former voice of the Dad, I told him about what we do, and he was listening to the ninth inning where one of the lines took place. He's like, I did a double take and then realized what you were doing, but you actually kind of made sense when you said it. So it was nice that Brian was putting it, and obviously the people that always listen.
The last one from last week from Joe Weil.
Infield playing in the pitch. Cut on a miss, counting nothing and one. Blackman fooled on that breaking ball. Giving a look out to the mound as if to say, I have fallen for you like a blind roofer. See if he doesn't fall for it this time. 0-1.
I think that's the one we just heard. Do we have one other one, or did we play every single one that we have, Dan?
And the Dash offense, through a 20-game span earlier this half, scored 59 runs. The 2-0, Nadolo takes it up and in, count it 3-0. But this team has always had the offense and the players to turn around. And listen, worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't necessarily get you anywhere.
That was my favorite one of the bunch. I didn't know how you were going to do that, but you certainly worked out a way. And I'm impressed by you. Okay, how about this? Are you ready for what Brian Formica has for you?
I'm very curious to see where Brian went with this one.
He wants you to channel some Tombstone. I'm your Huckleberry.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Okay.
So all right.
You got that one written down. How about we go to the audience? Brant says from Almost Famous, I didn't invent the Rainy Man. I just own the best umbrella. Have you ever seen Almost Famous?
I know about it. Trust me, I have like a list of like 50 movies that I need to, that are on my list that I need to see.
So there you go. From Almost Famous, I didn't invent the Rainy Man. I just own the best umbrella. And we actually played a Baker Mayfield line earlier this hour that I think would serve well as a pseudo movie line. Can we hear what Baker Mayfield had to say when talking about his mustache?
That's the elegance of having a mustache. You just don't know what's going to happen.
That's the elegance of having a mustache. You just don't know what's going to happen, Joe.
I love it.
All right, so channel your inner Baker Mayfield and work those in. That's the elegance of owning a mustache. You never quite know what you're going to get. And I'm your Huckleberry. Then you have Almost Famous. I didn't invent the Rainy Man. I just own the best umbrella.
You doing three this week?
Just three this week. I think you can handle that.
I got it.
All right. Have a good call tonight, Joe.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Joe Weil. Joe_Weil on Twitter. And we'll revisit that next week as Joe gives me a heads up at times when he thinks some of them are going to be challenging. I just got another one in here from the Chronicles of Riddick. It's been a long time since I smelled beautiful. Gosh, whatever happened to Vin Diesel? It almost seems like there can't be more than one Vin Diesel in Hollywood. They realized that The Rock was just a better version of Vin Diesel, and he took all of the roles. So, that's my belief of what's happened in Hollywood. The Drive is brought to you in part by our friends at Twin Peaks Restaurant. Pay them a visit, Haines Mall Boulevard in Winston-Salem. It is your local sports lodge. 29-degree draft beer pairs very well with some of their signature craft food. They have a ton of different options. I prefer the Naked Buffalo Wings, but many other different things you could try at Twin Peaks. And as preseason games start tonight, I can't think of a better place to watch football than the Triad Sports Hub, than the Triad Sports Lodge, I should say, Twin Peaks. Also, while we're talking about tasty food, Pie Guys Pizza and More, pay them a visit in Clemens, Louisville, off of Louisville Clemens Road. It is in the Kinnaman Village Commons. Try the Graham Slam Pizza. On top of that, the Moravian Sugar Cane Pies. Those apparently are doing very well. They've only been sold for the last month or so. One of the best desserts I've had was at Pie Guys Pizza and More. You can order online at pieguys.com. That's, again, Pie Guys Pizza and More, located in Clemens. We're at the Wyndham Championship. First round play here at the Wyndham. We'll also be here tomorrow for round two of action. And however and wherever you are listening, we certainly appreciate you spending time with us. And thanks to the folks who have gotten us on the air, whether it be Aaron Gabriel here on site, also Desmond Johnson back in our studio. On top of that, the folks here at the Wyndham Championship have been terrific. Sedgefield Country Club, and we're specifically inside Margaritaville. So you are listening to WSJS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals all together make up the Triads Sports Hub.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
You're on the Drive with Josh Graham, the Sports Hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
Person from The Athletic now joins us, Carolina Panthers beat reporter. We're broadcasting live from Sedgefield Country Club. Wyndham Championship Round 1 play underway. And, Joe, to paint you a picture of what I'm looking at right now, I am inside Margaritaville. There is a tiki hut that is to my right. There's a band that is playing to my left. There are things called loaded land sharks being handed to people left and right. And people are talking golf, and a lot of people also talking football at the golf course today, knowing that the NFL preseason starts right now. What does your situation look like in Spartanburg?
Well, first of all, thanks
a whole heck of a lot for not inviting me. I could have, you know, made an in-person appearance down there in Margaritaville. I am staring at some drive time traffic, or soon to be drive time traffic, in Charlotte. The Panthers wrapped up fairly early today. They have their fan fest tomorrow at Bank of America Stadium. So I, as well as everyone, took the opportunity to get back home and get a couple nights of sleep in my own bed.
So let's start with a couple of the headlines from the last 24 hours. First with Trey Boston. He returns to Charlotte. Is this a big deal in your mind?
Well, yes and no. I mean, this is a guy in Trey Boston who makes a lot of plays on the ball. He does take a lot of chances at the back end of the secondary. He's known to be, and then Ron Rivera even said this, I mean, just occasionally a little bit too much gambling for Ron Rivera's taste. But they really had one hole on that defense, at least on paper, and it was free safety. We heard all offseason about how this is why they drafted Rashawn Golden, and then guess what? A week into camp, they decided Rashawn Golden was not the answer, nor was anyone else on the roster, and they went out and got Trey Boston. But, you know, the fact that Trey Boston was available in August, you know, tells you that there's some red flags with him. He was intimating today, Trey Boston was, that a lot of those he feels, you know, kind of reading the tea leaves, that relate to kind of some of his strong stances on social justice issues. And he was very interested and interesting in talking about the kind of the change, the sea change that's gone on in the Panthers organization since he last played here when Jerry Richardson was still running the show.
What do you make of the reaction, or lack thereof, to Eric Reed saying that once again he would be protesting during the anthem?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone just expects that. That's, you know, he feels strongly about that. It's going to continue to be a polarizing type of display. There's going to be a lot of people who support it, an equal number of people who do. And Trey Boston was asked today if, you know, if he would join that protest. And he said, you know, I need to think about it. He said, I want to talk to Eric Reed about it. I want to get the gauge of the ownership here and their stance. But, yeah, it is pretty remarkable how the Panthers have gone from being one of the most conservative organizations in the league to being one that almost embraces, you know, athletes who have a voice and, you know, who take stances on these various social issues.
What was, speaking on that note, you had a chance to talk to David Tepper yesterday. He had public comments. What was your biggest takeaway about what he had to say?
Probably just facility related. I mean, there have been times where we've talked to Tepper in the last year where he had mentioned wanting to maybe put a roof on the stadium and bring in a Final Four, and you leave the conversation, you weren't sure how much of that, you know, what was he just bouncing ideas, you know, throwing ideas at the wall? Well, he made it very clear yesterday that that is his vision, and he said, I don't quite get why places like Indianapolis are hosting Final Fours, and Charlotte is not. And so, I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. Listen, this is a team that still hasn't even closed yet on the real estate deal in Rock Hill for its new headquarters. But I think he made it pretty clear that sometime in the next 10 years, the Carolina Panthers are probably going to have a new downtown stadium with a retractable roof, and they are going to be going after every big sporting event outside of football.
And for people who might be thinking, wow, is that too soon to get a new stadium? The Panthers Bank of America Stadium right now is the 10th oldest stadium in the National Football League, and that includes the L.A. Coliseum and the Oakland Coliseum. both of which will be vacated by the Rams and the Raiders after this next season. So 10 years down the line, of course, more and more teams are probably going to move into new stadiums before now and then. Looking at some of the headlines here, we're being joined by Joe Person from The Athletic. I see from Adam Schefter just a few minutes ago, Vic Fangio, the new Broncos coach, apparently has spent much of the Hall of Fame game today in the hospital because of a kidney stone. And then you got Ian Rappaport dropping this bomb that was then confirmed by the Jets that Ryan Khalil has come out of retirement and is going to play in New York. As someone who covered essentially Ryan Khalil's entire career with the Panthers, how surprised are you that he came out to play?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because this is a guy you remember, Josh, his last 2 years was battling some pretty serious, neck injuries and missed a lot of time. And last year he put in a ton of work and time in order to stay healthy and play. And he's got all of these kind of post-career non-football opportunities that he'd already, he's got part of a studio, production studio out in L.A. So, it's hard, though. Some of these guys, Ryan Khalil is still, 34 in football years is still getting up there. But you get away from the game a little bit and you miss the camaraderie. You miss, being a part of a team. And I think that's what, and by the way, $8.5 million offer from the Jets, yes. Did it surprise me? It sure did. But when you kind of sit back and you see a little bit of the bigger picture, you can see, and frankly, some of these guys hold on too long. I hope that's not the case with Ryan Khalil. I hope he gets out of the game healthy and, has one last hurrah and it's a good experience. But look at Julius Peppers last year. He kind of talked himself into one more year, or the Panthers talked him into one more year, and he had a very un-Julius Peppers-like ending to his career, as do most of these guys. And you just hope that's not the case with Ryan Khalil.
The initial shock, aside from the fact he spent his entire career with the Panthers, is the position he plays. Am I wrong to think that it's a different deal, that it's more rare for somebody playing his position, as grueling as it might be, the offensive line or defensive line, to come back to football versus, say, a skill position player or a quarterback?
Yeah, or a kicker. Yeah. No, definitely. I think that's a great point. Obviously, the Jets had a need. He's going to be great with Sam Darnold, and just in terms of helping him with protections and identifying defensive fronts. I get why the Jets were interested. I'm not quite as, convinced or sure about why Ryan Khalil was. But, he had moved off. He had sold his house here in Charlotte and moved his family back to California. He was moving on with life. So, definitely that was the shocker for me through the first week of training camp.
Aside from Cam Newton, the name I keep hearing more than any other at Panthers training camp is Curtis Samuel from the last week. Peter King was with us earlier, and he said, that's a guy who sticks out to me. James Bradbury was with us yesterday and said, this guy, he's playing at a different level. Is this about where Norv Turner expected Curtis Samuel to be filling in for Devin Funchess, or has he exceeded expectations?
Look, he's a second-round draft pick. So, they had high expectations for Curtis Samuel. I want to see him do it through the course of a 16-game regular season because he has not shown the ability to stay home. Some of it was just dumb luck on his part. It wasn't, these guys having all the models and this was the reason they drafted him high. He had speed. He had a high upside. Cam Newton was saying it. Look, he's got two young targets now, DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. And if they can stay healthy, he feels like they're ready to kind of take that next step in their career.
Read Joe Person's stuff, theathletic.com. Follow him on Twitter at Joseph Person. Before we let you go, Cam Newton, I know, spoke with the media today, first time in training camp. Anything to take away from that?
he's a lot more kind of calm and subdued and focused. And some of that is by design. He's very aware, I think, of his own mortality now in terms of injuries and health. And I think, by the way, he's still coming back from that shoulder injury, but it's still a work in progress, is the word he used. And so, it's not like he's not 100% yet. The goal, obviously, is week one when the Rams come to town. But it was interesting. He was not real jerky Cam. He wasn't pouty Cam. He was kind of serious Cam. And, it doesn't mean he's not going to go out at FanFest and have some fun with the fans. But I think you see a lot more of the kind of serious approach as Cam enters his booth.
Joe, in 1 month, when I see you next, I'll bring you a loaded land shark since I forgot to invite you to the Greensboro Wyndham Championship today. But thanks for the visit in the meantime.
Pour one out for me, buddy.
You got it. That's Joe Person on Twitter at Joseph Person, Carolina Panthers reporter for The Athletic. A little bit of Bob Marley being played here at Margaritaville. Is that coming through at all to you, Dez? Can you hear this band?
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you on a break what in the world's going on there, because it sounds like a party broke out behind you.
Oh, it is a party. A lot of fun's happening. And the coolest thing that you can't see, it's a show behind a radio show. Aaron Gabriel is a music performer in his own right, and I just see him looking at this band with judging eyes.
Is he judging them?
Is it that apparent?
Yeah. He's looking at this band the way I would if I saw another radio show doing a show. Like me at ACC Kickoff, just floating around next to someone's show, listening to a question. Oh, I could have asked that question better.
Lurking.
Oh, you're going to ask a talk about question? Same way that Aaron's thinking, Bob Marley.
I love Bob Marley.
I can see his face, though, too. All the way from him, I can see his face.
You don't have to be so judgmental, Aaron. That's all I got to say to you. It's very distracting. Not the band, you, during the interview. Just looking at you with your arms crossed and judging eyes. Up next, why college football will look different than anything we've seen this year. This is The Drive.